Praise the Lord, everybody. Good to see you folks. Let's turn to page 203. Someday, my trials here on earth will cease.
My trials here.
Sooner than the world will acknowledge. I just believe that things are certainly pointing to the coming of the Lord. And even if he doesn't come, I'm getting to the point where my days are shorter than they was back a few years ago. So I long for that time when we can be with the Lord forever and ever in that glorious place that he has prepared for. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer tonight as we begin our service. If you have a request of prayer tonight, just let it be known by the raising of your hand. I know that a lot of people, a lot of people are afflicted. Some are having procedures. Some are on vacation. So let's just pray. We serve a mighty big God who's able to meet each and every need. So let's just pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we just love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, for your grace, and for your mercy. For this day, this opportunity, God, that you've given us to gather here tonight. Father, I pray your blessing and anointing upon every part of this service. Asking you, Lord, just to lead us and guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us to go. Help us to be submissive, obedient, Lord, to your will and to your word. Father, we pray for those who are suffering tonight, those who are sick and afflicted. Pray, God, that you would reach out with your healing hand, God, and administer an anointing touch to each and every one who's in need. Father, we pray for those in the hospitals and the nursing homes. God, comfort and strengthen them. Those who are traveling, Father, we pray for their safe keeping. We ask you, Lord, to be with our folks downstairs, the young folks, Lord. I pray, God, that your hand and your blessing would be upon them. God, we'll just look to you to all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We might sing one more congregational number tonight. There was one I think I missed. I thought I had it. Let's do number six. We can do that. Want to know more about my Lord Jesus?
while traveling through this world of sorrow. I'm on my way to glory land. I'm not turned back for some tomorrow. My trials here, I understand. I want to know more about my Jesus.
Come and sing a number of your choosing tonight. While she's coming, y'all be thinking about it. If we have another volunteer to sing a special tonight, just lift your hand. see a hand back there. They're pointing.
Sister Kayla, do you have one after Susan?
This means yes. That means maybe. Okay. We'll have one ready after Sister Susan.
Well, I'm going to try not to ramble, but the Lord has been so good to us, not just this week, but it just seems like a miracle after miracle for me. I got kind of a job kind of dropped in my lap that I went and applied for. I went Friday first and talked to this lady. I went back Monday, and that's what I went up for prayer for Sunday night, was for the Lord just to let me know, because I was so afraid that if I quit my job, I've been at this place for 22 years, and I thought if I, you know, leave there and go somewhere else and it don't work out, you know, and I don't want to be in myself. I want the Lord to tell me for sure. So I kind of put out a fleece, because I thought this little place will never be able to pay me what I've built up, you know, to make it now. Not that it's that great, but right here at home. And that was my thing. I wanted to get home. Well, they came within $800 a year of what I'm making now. Of course, they weren't going to give me my vacation time, all my vacation time. So I said, okay, Lord, you know, I took that as a sign. If that's what you want me to do, you know. And so then I didn't want to tell my boss that that's where I'd been, but I didn't want to lie to her. And I said, Lord, just don't let her come and ask me where I was. Just let her take it that I'm late and I had some personal stuff, you know. And so, of course, she came in there and she said, are you all right? I said, yeah. She said, well, where was you at? Did you have to go back to the lab? And I'm like, no, I had a job interview. And she just kind of looked at me, and so I had to tell her about that. So then they called me and told me, you know, what they were going to offer me and all that. So I had to go tell her, and I said, so I told them that I could start the 1st of October. And she said, well, what will it take for you to stay? And I said, well, I really don't know. And she said, well, I'm going to go to the owner, and I'm going to get him. I'm going to see what he'll do. She said, I'm going to ask for a raise, and I'm going to ask for more vacation time, and I'm going to ask him to do whatever he has to do. And so I said, well, okay. And so I said, so I went back to my office, and I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do now. And I said, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if they'll give me this much of a raise or 2 weeks vacation, then I'll know that, you know, because they're not going to do that. They're just not. So I'll stay here if that's what you want me to do. So within an hour, she came back and she said, he's going to give you $2 an hour more raise and 2 weeks more vacation. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know why you want me to stay here, drive in 1 hour each way to get here, but that was my fleece. So I'm still at the place. But I thank the Lord. I don't know. I guess he's just trying to show me, you know, how much he loves me, that he can do this and this through, like he said, through another way, like Brother Spray said, through another way, go down this alley and around and about. But, you know, I just thank him every day for everything that he has done for us, for our family. I just thank him for all of my blessings and for protecting me on the road, since I'm not going to get to be here at home. But anyway, I just praise him for giving me peace. He gave me peace with my decision. So I know that he's going to follow through and protect me through it all.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. scars in his hands. Yet he chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why he loved me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtain of me.
Show us your glory.
Jesus, you change everything. Lives healed, hope bound here now. Jesus, you change everything. Chains fall and fear, it has to bow right here, right now. Jesus, you change everything. Lives healed and hope is being found right here, right now. Jesus, you change everything.
Is thankful that Jesus can change our life. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Hope you feel the same. It's a blessing to be able to come out and worship the Lord together with saints of God. Pray, worship, sing songs, hear that. So always uplifting. Hope you're having a good week. Amen. If you're having a good week, give the Lord praise. If you're having a bad week, come up and we'll pray for you. Even if you're sick or afflicted or anything, this is a good place, amen, to get victory before you leave. You have your Bibles tonight. We just want to get right into the Word of the Lord. We're going to be reading from some different passages of Scripture this tonight. But to begin with, let us go to the book of Proverbs in the 10th chapter. Chapter of the book of Proverbs. And I want to read two verses. That'd be verse number 28 and verse number 29 from Proverbs chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Writer says, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity." We pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for this time and this opportunity to gather together. Thank you for those who are here tonight. God, those who may be viewing. Father, we pray your blessing and we pray your anointing. I humbly ask, God, that you would just anoint this vessel. God, to speak to us that you would have us to hear. Give us direction. Give us instruction. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your word and to your will. Father, again, we ask you, Lord, to reach out to those who are sick, afflicted, God, those who are having trials and tribulation, praying, God, that you would strengthen them, anoint and touch their bodies. God, we just ask that everything that's done or said tonight be for your honor and for your glory. We'll give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Tonight, I want to bring a message entitled, "Judgment is Coming." Who has ever heard that? Judgment is coming. It's a delicate subject. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. I remember as growing up as a small boy, and when the minister or preacher, most times it was my granddaddy, would ever turn to Revelation or one of some scriptures that was talking about the judgment, it would strike fear into my heart and my spirit. I was unsaved. I was not quite ready for judgment. You know that I was raised in church. Probably never missed an opportunity to be at church. My mom and dad, they were very, very faithful in church and brought me and my brother, whether we wanted to or not. Kind of like Kevin. Kevin kind of comes kind of, it it's not really his idea to come, but he comes anyway, and sometimes he doesn't enjoy sitting back there in the nursery. And, you know, I understand that. But when they would talk about the judgment of God, and it really, I thank God for that, because when the Lord convicted me and brought me to an altar of repentance, he changed my life. As the song says, Jesus changed everything in my life. I don't fear that anymore, because I know that what the Lord has in store for us is better than we have down here. But the writer here noticed that. There's so many things in Proverbs that Solomon observed and wrote. But even in that day and time, before the dispensation of grace, before Jesus came, bled and died on the cross of Calvary, Solomon realized that those that would work iniquity and those that were evil, those that were continuously doing things that were disobedient or not pleasing to God, really their soul was in jeopardy. Their soul was hanging in the balances. And he realized that and know that, you know, those that serve the Lord, they can have gladness. Now, the way that this came about this week, I was just searching scriptures on joy. You know, it was been going over and over and over in my mind and in my heart. The joy of the Lord is my strength. How many's read that or heard that in the Bible? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I thank God for joy. And the more that I read, I found out that basically there's two types of joy. There's temporary joy that we can have in this earth, and that's available to a lot of folks, saved or unsaved. There's also a joy which is everlasting joy or eternal joy. That doesn't belong to everybody. People can have temporary joy, but if their soul is not right with the Lord, if they have not repented, if they're not asked Jesus Christ and recognized Jesus Christ as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the Lord and Savior, and has not accepted him, then they only experience the temporary joy and really have no idea of what that everlasting joy can be. I tell you, the everlasting joy will keep you happy and keep gladness in your life even when the temporary joy is gone. So in reading that, and I was just really, really getting involved in the scriptures, there's many, many scriptures in the Bible referring to joy and gladness and peace, and all of those things go hand in hand with those that know and serve the Lord. But then as I began to read about this everlasting joy, it came with a price. We know the price that was paid. But it also, most of the scriptures that would refer to everlasting joy would also talk about everlasting damnation, or a place that is the exact opposite of that eternal or everlasting joy. And I even went back and I found it in Proverbs there that Solomon was even referring to that. So I began to think on that, and I began to, and I know that we're probably talking to saints of God and born-again Christians, but, you know, maybe somebody's listening or viewing on the live stream that maybe they have not made that decision yet. Maybe they're still hesitating, or maybe they just haven't come to the realization that they really need the Lord, and maybe they're fighting and struggling because they can't seem to have that everlasting joy. Have some good times. They have some times where the Lord is good to them and he gives them breath and he gives them strength, but there's something that's missing, and probably each and every one of you can agree with that. Even though when things were going kind of good in life before we really knew Jesus, there was always something missing. There was in my life, even sitting in church, being raised in church, before I came to Jesus Christ and accepted him and opened up my heart's door, there was something missing. There was a void there. There was some. I could enjoy the songs. I even worked and helped with the music. But until I got born again, until I got saved and filled with the Spirit of the Lord, there was something that just wasn't satisfying until Jesus came into my life. So that is what the everlasting joy is about. But I'm afraid that there's a large portion of the world today that have heard about judgment, they've read about judgment, and they kind of just push that thing back like, yeah, that's, I've heard about that probably all of my life. But I want to assure you that, and Brother Jason said it other night, the scripture says, let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. When the Bible speaks of something, it's going to come to pass. It will happen. Maybe not in your time, maybe not in my time, maybe not even when we expect it to, but if God promises something, it's going to happen. And I know He's promised blessings, and I know He's promised salvation, and I know He's promised blood redemption, His blood shed for the redeeming of our souls. And just as all of those things are true, there is coming a judgment day too. After the death, then there is judgment. So tonight I want us to look over these scriptures. I want us to maybe rehearse these scriptures and once again get the seriousness in our lives and know that we are going to face judgment and knowing that every person is going to face judgment. I'm afraid a lot of times we have, and I say we, maybe society, maybe churches, maybe ministers and all, we've preached so much of the love of God, and that I do not deny the love of God. Thank God. I'm here tonight because of the love of God. But there is a side, too, and the Lord tells us that there is a judgment day coming. And it's not His will that any should perish. So kind of get that out of your mind. God does not have an issue with you and want to send you to hell. That's not what the reason that He sent Jesus Christ is to keep us from going to that awful place. So if we go, my granddaddy used to say it every time, we go as an intruder. That's not for us. That was for Satan and his demons, and it's not for us. But if we deny Christ, if we put Him off, if we do not accept Him, if we do not walk in His statutes and His precepts walk in the way and the newness that the Lord changes everything in our life, then there is another place. That is not going to be everlasting joy. Everything that I read about hell is terrible. The fire that is never quenched, the worm that never dieth, all of those things go hand in hand with eternal damnation. There is coming a judgment day. Now, in the New Testament, let us go to the book of Matthew, where we find Jesus speaking. Jesus spoke so many times in parables, but every parable that He spoke had a meaning. Most of the time, it was the meaning about salvation or eternity or different things, sometimes healing and sometimes deliverance. But He was speaking to a group of people. And in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, I want to begin in verse number 31, and we might skip just a little bit because, and then I may read it all. I don't know. But these are the scriptures that I want us to look at tonight. So if you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Matthew, chapter number 25, beginning with verse number 31. And Jesus said, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." It's very, very interesting here and very precise. In verse number 33, "He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left." Now, all of this is a type and shadow of the end time, of the judgment day that is coming. "Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Listen how uplifting and encouraging that is. These are the ones that's going to experience everlasting joy. These are the ones that have been blood bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. These are the ones who applied His mission to our lives and been born again, filled with His Spirit. These are the ones who tried in all of our human ways to walk that holy and righteous way. And we know that we can't be righteous. We know that if we were standing before the judgment seat of God today and never experienced salvation, then it would not matter how much you said you had done in your life or how many things you had done for others or how good a person you was or all of those wonderful characteristics that you might have obtained or done over your life. It would not do anything to affect the judgment of God when eternity is before us. The Bible tells me very plainly that we must be born again. And the blood of Jesus is the only thing that I read in the Bible that can redeem us from our sinful nature. So he says, these are the ones that's going to experience everlasting joy. These are the ones to be happy about. And it's amazing because I was kind of reading the Bible wanting some kind of some joy from my strength every once in a while. You know, how many know sometimes you need to fill your gas tank up? And this is what I was kind of doing and just kind of reading and, you know, searching scriptures. I want to feel the joy again. I want to feel that strength and uplifting, you know, because sometimes you get tired. Sometimes you get physically tired. Sometimes you get spiritually tired. Sometimes you get dog tired. I don't know what dog tired is, but I think I was almost there. But reading the scripture, I always find uplifting verses and scriptures and I always find things that are encouraging to me because the Bible is full of promises. And in reading all of that, then I got caught up in all of that, and it's like the Lord said, yeah, you can have joy down here, and joy is wonderful, and people want to be glad, and they want peaceful situations in their life, but understand what I have arranged for those who serve me and those who love me and those who accepted me are much greater than this temporary joy that you can experience here on earth. And I read, and I found out that temporary joy can be for a lot of people. You can talk to people today and have a good time, and they call it joy or whatever it is, but it's short-lived. But if you know Jesus Christ, and you know him personally, you know him intimately, and you know that if you did not take another breath tonight, you know where you would spend eternity. That's a joy that no man can take from you. Amen. If you're glad of that, put your hands together. If you're thankful that nobody or no thing or no person could ever take that joy. So in reading all of that, I begin to think about that, and then it's almost like God said, yeah, but there is another side to judgment. There's a happy side to judgment. There's a glorious side to judgment. The glory of the Lord and the place that he has provided for us. It's beyond our ability to even fathom or imagine the greatness that the Lord himself has prepared for us. And just if you're a person that keeps up with time, just think how long Jesus has been preparing this place for us. It's got to be beyond our wildest imagination. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. Not only the place that where we are, but the glorified body that we're going to receive. And that's a promise, too, that the Lord has given us. Think about a glorified body that's never going to experience pain anymore. And we think about that, and, oh, that's wonderful. You know, a body that's going to feel strong, a body that's going to feel energy. But think about, too, the mind that we're going to have. And that mind is never going to know any problems, any sorrow, any sadness. How about a place with no more sadness? No more death, no more sickness, no more affliction. It's going to be a wonderful place. No wonder we can have that everlasting joy. But in order to do that, we must be born again, and we must have Jesus Christ alive and well in our lives. And he says, and here's what he says. He said, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he goes into a list of different things. And this is quite interesting. He said, for I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, say, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we then a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now that's a wonderful list of things. But I want you to understand, doing those things alone without accepting Jesus Christ in your soul will not get us into heaven. It will not get us past that judgment seat. We can do all the good things in all the world. But this is the thing about it. When you have Jesus, then you do those things. Then you are helpful to others. Then you are encouraging to others. And you help the sick. And you help the poor and the needy. And you do all those things. You don't do them to get saved. You do them because you're saved. Can you say amen? You like those, do those things. And that gives you that joy, that temporary joy of helping one another down here. But the everlasting joy comes only from Jesus Christ coming in and taking abode in our life, being born again. Then he goes on to say in verse number 41, Then shall he say also unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There's two choices. There's two destinies. There's two places that are prepared for eternity. Not a third, not a door number three, but two places. That place of everlasting joy, that place where we can be with Christ forever and ever and ever, or that place that was designed and prepared for the devil and his angels. And then he goes on to say, those are the ones that saw the need and saw the situation and never did anything about it. So he gave that as a parable. But understand, there will be a judgment day. And the only thing that I can offer in my defense is the blood of Jesus. And really, that's all that we need, is the blood of Jesus applied to our life, filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Because again, if I die, if I took my last breath and I'm standing before the judgment seat of God, and I'm telling him I was a good husband, or I was a good daddy, or I was a good employer or employee, or situations that arose, I tried to do my very best. Folks, those are wonderful accolades, and I can't say enough for those good things that people do. But you got to understand, that and that alone will not get you past the judgment seat of God. First of all, God knows everything there is to know about us. There's no secrets between you and God. He knows everything. He knows if the blood is going to be there. I remember several years ago, and I think they do it still on some places where if you go into a place of amusement or some, you know, and if you want to leave for a while and come back, they'll stamp your hand or stamp your wrist or something, and you know, you can't really see it good, but then it shows up under that light, and then you can't get in unless that thing shows there. And you know, and trying to get into heaven without the blood of Jesus, without being born again, is just an impossibility. It's not going to happen. And I'm afraid so many people have taken and let the love of God overshadow the judgment of God. God is true to his word. There's so many scriptures. Yes, we can have that everlasting joy. Yes, we can be eternally happy. But there's also a place that is prepared for those that have not accepted Christ. And it really burdens my heart as a minister, as a pastor, to see so many seemingly unconcerned people in the world today who just, if so-and-so made it, then I know I can. You don't judge yourself by somebody else. That's not what it's about. And there's only one pure and true and righteous judge, and that's God. You know, the preacher can't preach you in, and he certainly can't preach you out. So God is the one that we have to please. God is the one that we have to apply to our life, his Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 10. We often use these scriptures when we're standing over the passing of a loved one. Let me just back up for just a minute. It says, this is in the fourth chapter, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And he knows that flesh and blood is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It goes back to the dust of the earth from which it came. But the soul of man will live forever. The soul of humanity, that precious spirit that God has given us, will live forever and ever and ever in one of two places. For our light affliction, whatever that affliction may be, it may seem very heavy to us. It may seem very terrible. Sometimes it's even terminal affliction that we have. But it's only for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, as the joy that I talked about. But the things which are not seen are eternal, are the everlasting joy. For we know, everybody say, we know, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, referencing that glorified body. And if we can't satisfactorily say, we know that we have a place in heaven, then maybe we need to take inventory of our life and make sure that everything is right and on the up and up with God, between us and God. Because now is the time to get it right. Now is the time to make sure that the heart and the conscience is clear. Don't wait before we stand to the judgment seat of God and then try to persuade God by any other way other than being born again in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Then the writer says in verse number 10, for we must all, A-L-L, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And God's going to know. We can confess all we want to then, but he's going to know. If we try to hide anything whatsoever, the Lord already knows what our life has been. So I want to stand with a clear conscience. The only way that I believe that I can stand with a clear conscience is have Jesus Christ come into my life, fill me with his Spirit, amen, wash my dirty sins away, and strive to live a holy and righteous life each and every day of my life. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But the Spirit that is within us is perfect, because that Spirit is the Spirit that the Lord says, I won't leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter in my name, and that Comforter shall lead you and guide you and teach you in all things. So finally tonight, let's go to the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 20, we want to begin with verse number 11. John the Revelator, now you understand that he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. There was a reason for that. You might think, oh my Lord, God had forsaken him. That was his punishment, and how could God turn his back? But you know what? God had his undivided attention and had a reason for him being on the Isle of Patmos. So if you ever think, God, why have you put me in this situation? Maybe God has a place and a plan to have your undivided attention. There was no distractions on the Isle of Patmos. God began to speak to him and reveal to him. And in the 20th chapter, verse number 11, John said, and I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. What a statement that is. Doesn't matter how powerful in this walk of life you were, or how insignificant you may think you was, well, how rich you are, or if you don't have a penny to your name, everyone's going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And it's not what you've done on this earth. It's not how much you've gained. It's not how much power you've had. Great and small are going to stand before. And I said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse number 15, so powerful. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the final judgment of God. There won't be any second chances after this. So now is the day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. As we meet here tonight and we enjoy the goodness of God and we experience the praise and worship and the fellowship with Christ that we so love, let's not forget that there's people out there that need us to witness to them and let them know. Yes, God is love. Love is immaculate. Agape love, unmerited favor love, but also God will be a God of judgment. People need to understand and know and realize that they don't have the promise of tomorrow. I don't have the promise of tomorrow. Today is the day that we must be ready to meet the Lord. And if so, we're going to have that glorious time. And let's just kind of read that, because there's some good things too for those who have the everlasting joy. In the 21st chapter, John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now understand, John saw a vision of what you and I are going to see for real. There's no way that these words can adequately, or I believe, can adequately describe the beauty and the majesty that we're going to experience firsthand when we enter the kingdom of God. But John saw it in a vision coming down, and like I said, he was on this island by himself, and God was using him and anointing him and kind of opening up the window just a little bit of heaven and letting him peer in the way of a vision. And he said, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" And verse 4 is so personal to describe the personal relationship that we have with the Lord and how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, how much and how great that reward is going to be for those who've accepted the Lord. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." So God kind of took me through all of those scriptures to let me know that, yes, there is an everlasting joy. That really wasn't what I was searching for, even though I'm thankful for the everlasting joy and for the fact that Jesus is alive and well in my life. But I was looking for some pick-me-ups. I don't know if you've ever done that. I don't know if you've ever opened up the Bible and said, "Lord, just kind of, come on, just give me something good." You know, we call it the scriptural desserts. But sometimes we need the meat and the potato of the Word, too. We need the strength that makes us grow. And after all of that, then I got to that last verse there, and I said, "Lord, you know what? That's what makes me happy. No matter what we experience down here on this earth, I know that I'm going to be the recipient of everlasting joy, not because of what I've done, not because of who I am, but all because of what he's done and because of who he is, and he is my Lord and Savior." We can experience that everlasting joy. We can still have that joy down here. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we got a lot of things to be happy about, a lot of things to be glad about. But the most important thing in my life to be happy about, and it gives me joy, is the fact to know that I'm going home with Jesus, amen, when I leave this walk of life. And I want everybody that I know, I'd list everybody in the whole wide world would go there too, because heaven will be big enough. It'll be big enough. Don't worry about the size of heaven and you won't fit, because it's going to be big enough to have everybody. But I'm just so afraid that faith wants me to believe that folks are going to make it, but the reality sometimes, I just wonder if folks really, really sincerely know where they stand with God. It's not about joining the church. It's not about signing your name on the roll book. That's well and good. Encourage that if you want to be a part of the local assembly. But that's not the book, by the way, that God's going to open. It's not the roll book. If that was the case, we'd just sign up as many people as we possibly can. That's not good. That's not good. And it's probably not a book like you would imagine. It's God's book. God's book of eternity, which is in his mind. I want my name to be on there. How about you? Man, I'm looking forward to what the Lord has to say. God bless you. A little unusual tonight, but that's, you know, what God gave me, then that's the only thing that I can pass on. But if you're born again and ready to meet the Lord, you got that everlasting joy. You got a loved one who's not. Convey to them somehow, some way, that they need to go ahead and make that decision. Don't put it off. Because again, you know, we don't have a promise. May God bless you. We love you. So good. Truly, that is my desire to see each and every one of you in heaven. If you would stand tonight, if you have a need, please come and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you if you have a sickness or affliction or whatever the case may be. The God that I serve, amen, is big enough to do all things. You hear me say it all the time. Exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask for. They're one that needs prayer tonight. Let's remember so many that are still struggling, so many that are sick. Let's just pray that God would reach out and touch them. We won't be here Sunday. We let you know everything's all right. We're just going to go out of town and spend about a week. But everything's in good hands. We got plenty of speakers, and we just encourage you to be here. And pastors away, and we'll be thinking of y'all, and we'll be watching live stream, not to see who's not there. We won't be doing that. We'll just be we'll be watching to enjoy the blessings of God. Alice. Heavenly. Touch her corner, God, reach out to her, knowing that all things God heal, bless her, strengthen her, Lord, that she thank you for bringing that to our attention. All right. Nothing else. Other needs, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we just thank you, God, for this day and this opportunity. For those who've gathered here tonight, thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I pray, God, that we'll understand the seriousness of this matter, God. We'll not only make sure that we're right, but God, to our loved ones and so many that we come in contact. God, I pray for end time revival, God, to hit this nation. Lord, I pray for souls to be born again. Pray, God, that you'll just reach out and touch and anoint, God, every need tonight. Lord, be with us. Take us, take care of us. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. We'll give you praise. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Have a wonderful and glorious evening.